Вариант 12.
Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
I have always dreamt of having a stunning cream-coloured two-storey house located somewhere in Miami. I imagine a spacious beach house, with the beach being its backyard and the sea being its pool. Its front yard is also large, with a little creek and a big flat green space for a game of soccer. Lots of tall trees tower over the house. One of them will have a big treehouse with a ladder which can be pulled up. Every bedroom will have a large terrace overlooking the sea. The floors will be made of marble, and all the furniture will be pure, shiny, smooth wood.
Speaker B.
I wouldn't like a huge house because there would be too much cleaning, but I would like to have spacious closets and bathrooms. I'm not much interested in a pool, but a hot tub would be nice. I've always wanted a house with a simple, natural look and lots of indoor plants. I would definitely want a decent-sized yard, with lots of flowering plants and dogs running around. My family is quite large, but they all can't be in the same place for long before all hell breaks loose, so I would only want my hubby and kids to live in my dream house.
Speaker C.
My future home will probably be mostly solar-powered, with a lot of modern insulation throughout the house. There will be plenty of energy-efficient appliances and power-conserving devices already pre-installed in the house. Well, I really want a house with 4 bedrooms, and I want everything to be made of very modern materials, like stainless steel. The house will have lots of windows, wood, and marble flooring, and will definitely be very modern and sleek, with lots of electronic controls. The master bedroom will certainly have a jacuzzi bathtub and a waterfall shower.
Speaker D.
I can never understand people who spend lots of time and money on decorating their homes. They become slaves of their houses and see nothing but their plasma TV. My dream house would definitely be on wheels and have a steering wheel. Ultimately, it would be like one of those buses that bands live in while on the road. That way, I could have a comfortable place to sleep. And yet, I could change my backyard at will. And I can drive down to the corner bakery without leaving the house. Isn't it convenient?
Speaker E.
I'd like to have a teeny house that looks like a gingerbread house. I want it on a smallish lot with flowers and butterfly bushes and a fence around the little backyard, painted bright yellow with white on the front porch. It would also have a little cement patio out back. Inside, it would be as open as such a small house would be, with half a wall between the kitchen and the living room, and a tiny hallway to the bedroom and the bathroom. The walls inside would be bright, with fun furniture and rugs everywhere.
Speaker F.
I have never wanted to live in a crowded area, so my dream house is kind of weird. I would live in a cave house inside a mountain. You could walk through, and the house would open up onto a balcony, hanging there on the cliff of the mountain, and you could see for miles. I would also like to have plenty of fruit trees and enough land for a vegetable garden and a separate flower garden, preferably roses. What will I have inside the house? All modern conveniences, a satellite TV, and the internet connection.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
I have always dreamt of having a stunning cream-coloured two-storey house located somewhere in Miami. I imagine a spacious beach house, with the beach being its backyard and the sea being its pool. Its front yard is also large, with a little creek and a big flat green space for a game of soccer. Lots of tall trees tower over the house. One of them will have a big treehouse with a ladder which can be pulled up. Every bedroom will have a large terrace overlooking the sea. The floors will be made of marble, and all the furniture will be pure, shiny, smooth wood.
Speaker B.
I wouldn't like a huge house because there would be too much cleaning, but I would like to have spacious closets and bathrooms. I'm not much interested in a pool, but a hot tub would be nice. I've always wanted a house with a simple, natural look and lots of indoor plants. I would definitely want a decent-sized yard, with lots of flowering plants and dogs running around. My family is quite large, but they all can't be in the same place for long before all hell breaks loose, so I would only want my hubby and kids to live in my dream house.
Speaker C.
My future home will probably be mostly solar-powered, with a lot of modern insulation throughout the house. There will be plenty of energy-efficient appliances and power-conserving devices already pre-installed in the house. Well, I really want a house with four bedrooms, and I want everything to be made of very modern materials, like stainless steel. The house will have lots of windows, wood, and marble flooring, and will definitely be very modern and sleek, with lots of electronic controls. The master bedroom will certainly have a jacuzzi bathtub and a waterfall shower.
Speaker D.
I can never understand people who spend lots of time and money on decorating their homes. They become slaves of their houses and see nothing but their plasma TV. My dream house would definitely be on wheels and have a steering wheel. Ultimately, it would be like one of those buses that bands live in while on the road. That way, I could have a comfortable place to sleep. And yet, I could change my backyard at will. And I can drive down to the corner bakery without leaving the house. Isn't it convenient?
Speaker E.
I'd like to have a teeny house that looks like a gingerbread house. I want it on a smallish lot with flowers and butterfly bushes and a fence around the little backyard, painted bright yellow with white on the front porch. It would also have a little cement patio out back. Inside, it would be as open as such a small house would be, with half a wall between the kitchen and the living room, and a tiny hallway to the bedroom and the bathroom. The walls inside would be bright, with fun furniture and rugs everywhere.
Speaker F.
I have never wanted to live in a crowded area, so my dream house is kind of weird. I would live in a cave house inside a mountain. You could walk through, and the house would open up onto a balcony, hanging there on the cliff of the mountain, and you could see for miles. I would also like to have plenty of fruit trees and enough land for a vegetable garden and a separate flower garden, preferably roses. What will I have inside the house? All modern conveniences, a satellite TV, and the internet connection.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hello, Mr. Jenkins. I'm afraid I have a grumble to make. It's about your son. Well, that football of his, to be precise.
Don't say he's kicking it into your garden again, Mrs. Smith.
Well, yes. I'm afraid it keeps coming over.
I've told him not to play in the street. Look, here he comes now. I'll have this out with him once and for all. Bill, I want you here, this minute.
What's wrong, Dad? Why are you looking so angry?
Mrs. Smith tells me you're still letting that football of yours go into her garden.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm sorry. Hello, Mrs. Smith.
It's no good standing there squirming, Bill. I thought we'd sorted all this out last year, you and your friends. Surely you've got the sense to know that you're causing damage.
Well, yes, Dad. In fact, this time we've caused more damage than usual.
Look what happened to Mrs. Smith's daffodils when they were just coming out last spring. Ruined. Absolutely knocked to pieces.
It isn't just the damage. It's the welfare too. It isn't safe to play in the street, so I don't want you coming down too hard on him, mister.
I told you then, and I'll tell you again.
Don't come down on him too hard, Mr. Jenkins. I can't help feeling sorry for that lad. He paid for the damage with his pocket money, and then in the autumn he burst a new ball on the thorns of my roses.
Dad, this time we were kicking the ball up and down the road to avoid it going into the gardens. After it went on the daffodils, we stopped using Mrs. Smith's gate as a goal. It was just an unlucky bounce that took it over the wall and onto the roses. Anyway, it didn't do any harm that time. Not to Mrs. Smith's garden. It was Mrs. Smith's garden that damaged my ball.
You're being cheeky.
No, Dad, it's true. And now today, it did an even unluckier bounce.
Now listen to me, Bill. Once more into Mrs. Smith's garden, and I'll stop your pocket money for, well, I don't know how many months.
Bill, surely it's best if you play on the recreation ground. It's not far to walk.
But there's just one problem, Mrs. Smith.
There can't be a problem. You don't mean you youngsters haven't the strength to walk half a mile?
Well, no, it's not that.
Well, go to the recreation ground.
But, Dad, Mrs. Smith, my ball's in Mrs. Smith's front room.
What on earth do you mean, in my front room?
It did another funny bounce. It's gone through your window.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Hello, Mr. Jenkins. I'm afraid I have a grumble to make. It's about your son. Well, that football of his, to be precise.
Don't say he's kicking it into your garden again, Mrs. Smith.
Well, yes. I'm afraid it keeps coming over.
I've told him not to play in the street. Look, here he comes now. I'll have this out with him once and for all. Bill, I want you here, this minute.
What's wrong, Dad? Why are you looking so angry?
Mrs. Smith tells me you're still letting that football of yours go into her garden.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm sorry. Hello, Mrs. Smith.
It's no good standing there squirming, Bill. I thought we'd sorted all this out last year, you and your friends. Surely you've got the sense to know that you're causing damage.
Well, yes, Dad. In fact, this time we've caused more damage than usual.
Look what happened to Mrs. Smith's daffodils when they were just coming out last spring. Ruined. Absolutely knocked to pieces.
It isn't just the damage. It's the welfare too. It isn't safe to play in the street, so I don't want you coming down too hard on him, mister.
I told you then, and I'll tell you again.
Don't come down on him too hard, Mr. Jenkins. I can't help feeling sorry for that lad. He paid for the damage with his pocket money, and then in the autumn he burst a new ball on the thorns of my roses.
Dad, this time we were kicking the ball up and down the road to avoid it going into the gardens. After it went on the daffodils, we stopped using Mrs. Smith's gate as a goal. It was just an unlucky bounce that took it over the wall and onto the roses. Anyway, it didn't do any harm that time. Not to Mrs. Smith's garden. It was Mrs. Smith's garden that damaged my ball.
You're being cheeky.
No, Dad, it's true. And now today, it did an even unluckier bounce.
Now listen to me, Bill. Once more into Mrs. Smith's garden, and I'll stop your pocket money for, well, I don't know how many months.
Bill, surely it's best if you play on the recreation ground. It's not far to walk.
But there's just one problem, Mrs. Smith.
There can't be a problem. You don't mean you youngsters haven't the strength to walk half a mile?
Well, no, it's not that.
Well, go to the recreation ground.
But, Dad, Mrs. Smith, my ball's in Mrs. Smith's front room.
What on earth do you mean, in my front room?
It did another funny bounce. It's gone through your window.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью с Дэниелом Рэдклиффом, исполнителем роли Гарри Поттера. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Daniel, you're coming to the end of the journey now, and we basically watched you grow up on screen. How do you feel about it?
I'm not thinking about it that much at the moment. It's very occasionally I'm suddenly thinking, oh God, I'm only here for another 3 months, you know? And so that's very odd, and it will be very upsetting when it does come to an end, because I've spent so much time here and made some fantastic friends. Who I hope will stay with me for the rest of my life. And so, it'll be very sad, but equally, it is an exciting time. Whenever you go through periods of transition, I suppose those times are always going to be both very upsetting and also very exciting, by the very nature, because things are changing and you don't know what's going to happen.
Could you talk about when you got the seventh book, your experience of reading it for the first time, and just your emotions?
Yeah, I obviously loved the seventh book as much as everybody else did. I was reading actually at a cricket match because it came out 2 days before my 18th birthday and I was going to a match for my birthday. So I was going round for 2 days without having read it while everybody else was reading it. And so it was a 2 day long struggle to beg not to be told how it all ends. And I did actually manage to do that. And then yeah, I remember finishing it on the plane and just becoming very emotional. I found it's a very moving book. The epilogue was something that I liked. It's tied together all those loose ends. Because the thing is that if Jo Rowling hadn't written that epilogue, can you imagine being her for the rest of her life and having to cope with questions about what did Harry go on to do? She has to give some conclusion.
And can we talk about the process of the film? Not only the physical action, but there's some great emotions that Harry has to go through.
The whole series for me is about loss of innocence and about Harry going from this kind of a wide-eyed child and turn it into this slightly grizzled young man by the end of it. Although, it is essential that he does not turn into the man necessarily in the film, because what makes all of that fight stuff at the end so powerful and so horrible to watch is the fact that you're seeing a kid get beaten up by a very strong, very angry man.
Speaking of that, can you talk about filming that sequence with you and Ralphine's when you were in the forest and you know you were going to die?
That scene was one of my favourites. And as with everything you place great significance on, one tends to put so much pressure on yourself that you actually end up nowhere. I so much wanted it to be good. I was probably trying almost too many different things. It was really hard work, but I suppose simply because of the expectations I placed on myself.
Can you talk about the overall pride that you have for the series and what you and everyone have been able to accomplish?
Of course, I'm very proud of the series. These are films that are some of the biggest grossing films ever. No, not because of that. I think that's because of the attention to detail that we have over these films. If you walk onto one of those sets, you'll see not only the grandeur of it, but what makes them really impressive, also the details of the sets that you probably would never see in the film. But I think the fact that we walk onto those sets every day and think, well, if these sets are here, we have to be good enough to use them. You know, because they are amazing.
Are you comfortable with the association with the series and the character that you'll have for the rest of your life?
Well, I think that every opportunity I'll get for the rest of my life, I would not have got it if it wasn't for Harry Potter. And it would be height of ingratitude if I was ever anything but proud to be associated with these films.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Daniel, you're coming to the end of the journey now, and we basically watched you grow up on screen. How do you feel about it?
I'm not thinking about it that much at the moment. It's very occasionally I'm suddenly thinking, oh God, I'm only here for another 3 months, you know? And so that's very odd, and it will be very upsetting when it does come to an end, because I've spent so much time here, and made some fantastic friends, who I hope will stay with me for the rest of my life. And so, it'll be very sad, but equally, it is an exciting time. Whenever you go through periods of transition, I suppose those times are always going to be both very upsetting and also very exciting, by the very nature, because things are changing and you don't know what's going to happen.
Could you talk about when you got the 7th book, your experience of reading it for the first time, and just your emotions?
Yeah, I obviously loved the 7th book as much as everybody else did. I was reading actually at a cricket match because it came out 2 days before my 18th birthday and I was going to a match for my birthday. So I was going round for 2 days without having read it while everybody else was reading it. And so it was a 2 day long struggle to beg not to be told how it all ends. And I did actually manage to do that. And then yeah, I remember finishing it on the plane and just becoming very emotional. I found it's a very moving book. The epilogue was something that I liked. It's tied together all those loose ends. Because the thing is that if Jo Rowling hadn't written that epilogue, can you imagine being her for the rest of her life and having to cope with questions about what did Harry go on to do? She has to give some conclusion.
And can we talk about the process of the film? Not only the physical action, but there's some great emotions that Harry has to go through.
The whole series for me is about loss of innocence and about Harry going from this kind of a wide-eyed child and turn it into this slightly grizzled young man by the end of it. Although, it is essential that he does not turn into the man necessarily in the film, because what makes all of that fight stuff at the end so powerful and so horrible to watch is the fact that you're seeing a kid get beaten up by a very strong, very angry man.
Speaking of that, can you talk about filming that sequence with you and Ralphine's when you were in the forest and you know you're going to die?
That scene was one of my favourites, and as with everything you place great significance on, one tends to put so much pressure on yourself that you actually end up nowhere. I so much wanted it to be good, I was probably trying almost too many different things. It was really hard work, but I suppose simply because of the expectations I placed on myself.
Can you talk about the overall pride that you have for the series and what you and everyone have been able to accomplish?
Of course, I'm very proud of the series. These are films that are some of the biggest grossing films ever. No, not because of that. I think that's because of the attention to detail that we have over these films. If you walk onto one of those sets, you'll see not only the grandeur of it, but what makes them really impressive, also the details of the sets that you probably would never see in the film. But I think the fact that we walk onto those sets every day and think, well, if these sets are here, we have to be good enough to use them. You know, because they are amazing.
Are you comfortable with the association with the series and the character that you'll have for the rest of your life?
Well, I think that every opportunity I'll get for the rest of my life, I would not have got it if it wasn't for Harry Potter. And it would be height of ingratitude if I was ever anything but proud to be associated with these films.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.